95.3 WBCK now presents Coach's Corner, live from Lakeview Ford. For over six decades, this has been your number one source for all local sports information. Coach's Corner is proudly presented by Lakeview Ford, where community matters. Now, here's your host, Bill Broderick.
This is Bill Broderick, sports editor of the Battle Creek Inquirer. I'm in the big chair once again on WBCK for another week of Coach's Corner, coming to you live from downtown Battle Creek at Lakeview Ford Lincoln on the Motor Mile. For more than six decades, Coach's Corner has been talking to the city high school coaches about the week in sports, and we will continue to do that as we head into the next week of the high school football season with our first coach of the morning. But first, here's the Lakeview Ford Lincoln Coach's Corner scoreboard. In our top game of the week last week, as the season got going on Thursday night, a big city rivalry game, Harper Creek hosted Lakeview, and Harper Creek rolled past their rival Lakeview 42-0. That series is now tied 24-24 over the last 48 meetings, a true rivalry in the city there. Also on Thursday, Battle Creek Central, after they went 1-8 last year, got off to a great start for the 2025 season and defeated Benton Harbor 52-0. Penfield had a back-and-forth game with Otsego. The game was tied at halftime, and the game was also tied with about 4 minutes left, but Otsego pulled away and won 32-26 in a game that went down to the final possession. And St. Phil opened up on Thursday night at CW Post Field, and the shorthanded Tigers lost to Bangor 50-0. In other area games, Marshall took down Go Lake 42-14. In the 100th meeting in the series between Coldwater and Sturgis down south there, Coldwater defeated Sturgis 44-6. Union City beat Parchment 16-14. Bellevue topped Tekonsha 36-14. Athens lost to Burr Oak 56-0. Cal-IMX Scotts lost at Goebbels 54-32. Galesburg beat Cassopolis 62-20. And Homer beat Comstock 34-8. We will be back with our first coach of the morning after this commercial on Coach's Corner on WBCK 95.3 FM.
Coach's Corner on 95.3 WBCK. Proudly brought to you by Lakeview Ford, where community matters. Here's Coach's Corner.
This is Bill Broderick, sports editor of the Battle Creek Inquirer, back here on Coach's Corner on WBCK, coming to you live from downtown Battle Creek at Lakeview Ford Lincoln. I'm here with our first coach of the morning, Coach Brett Vernon of the Lakeview Spartans. Good morning, Coach.
Morning.
We're here on Labor Day weekend. Are you got any big plans for the rest of the weekend after this, or are you just thinking about football?
Just getting ready for Grand Lodge next week.
That's the way it is this time of year. We coaches don't get to enjoy too much of the time off, but because one game comes right after the other. But before we get into the nuts and bolts of your rivalry game there with Harper Creek, you guys played on Thursday night. Let's talk about the atmosphere of that game. We haven't seen too many crowds like that since COVID, really, and the stands on both sides were full, and the excitement on both sides was there, and it was a nice environment to be around on opening night.
Yeah, sure is. That obviously makes it fun for the kids to be out there in front of a whole bunch of people out there playing. Obviously, we wish the game would have went a little differently, but I got to say thanks to the community for coming out and supporting and being there and cheering on those kids.
Yeah, talking about the game there, Harper Creek got the better of Lakeview and won 42-0. The idea that it is a rivalry game, kind of going back and forth, and when that happens and the kids are playing in a game, put so much into a season opener, that's a tough result to happen. And is that something you had to deal with after the game there, that getting the kids to make sure they keep their heads up in it, because you have a long season to go in front of you, right?
Yeah, and that was a message to the kids. It is just game one. But it's always disappointing, obviously, to have the game one there. And I think the kids put almost too much pressure on themselves sometimes when it comes to, you know, these inner-city rivalries. When it is just, it's still just one game, right? And And so you obviously want a different result. You want things to go differently. And I think our kids came out and played hard. But I think as some things, you know, started to go against us a little bit there towards the end of the first half and then into the second, it was the battle of getting the kids to come back up and finish that game, because it obviously didn't go the way that they would have hoped.
It was a crazy start to the game, and some good stuff was happening for Lakeview early, and it was just like before anyone can really settle down, a lot of stuff had happened. There was a kickoff return that went back for a touchdown that was called back with a penalty, and so that was a range of emotions there. And then on Harper Creek's first snap, they tried to go deep, and Lakeview intercepted that ball and brought that back, and all things are going great. Talk about the beginning of that game and kind of how a crazy game like that it's hard to kind of get settled in, and the kids are kind of all over the place, but you guys did a good job in getting that going, and you had some things going good early, right?
Yes, a little emotional roller coaster there in the beginning, that kickoff return, you know, and then you see that flag on the ground. Sweet comes back, then we get that interception, and then I don't know if there was another flag in the complex that could have been thrown on the ground off that interception, and, you know, get that sorted through, you know. So we're on emotional high, but then you got to sit there for a few minutes just waiting for these flags to be figured out. And then unfortunately, no one didn't punch it in the end zone there. And obviously it was, you know, tough sledding from there on out.
Yeah. You weren't able to take advantage of that thing. You're kind of right there that you're hoping to maybe take advantage of that momentum, but the referees did they huddled up for a real long time. There's six flags on the ground there after that. And then that didn't go your way there. Harper Creek scores a couple touchdowns early. And then what I thought was a big key to the whole game, Harper Creek was up 14-0, and Lakeview had a nice drive and got inside the five on a nice run by your quarterback there and Isaiah Jackson. And then you weren't able to punch it in. Talk about that dynamic there and then how that's kind of maybe a lost chance and also maybe set the tone for the rest of the game.
You're right. That was probably the biggest swing in the game. We were in the game at that point. You know, it was 14-0. It could have been 14-7. We score right there. That's going into the halftime at 14-7. And, you know, it's a different halftime speech when you're there. We got to take advantage of being on the 3-yard line, first down on the 3-yard line. Just had some slip throughs on the offensive line there, and they were able to stop us for some no gainers. And then we tried to throw a little quick slant on the goal line. The ball had to come out of our hands a little sooner than what it was. Ended up not doing that. Then, you know, obviously a little bit of chaos ensued. The ball back to the 30, and they end up getting it off of a fumble. And then they just go down and score, you know, right before halftime there. And so that, you know, was really, I mean, probably the biggest turning point in the game that set up the rest of the day. And so, yeah, me, I'm coach, right? We got to find a way to, we got to punch that football in. We got to, when those times, you know, it's kind of our troubles last year. We'd get inside that red zone and have trouble scoring, and that can't happen this year. And so we definitely have to change that around to make sure that when we have those opportunities to score, we're putting that ball in the end zone.
You're right. And then you go into halftime, and like you said, it's a different thing. And then you have to come out in the second half, and you kind of have to find your way again and try to grab back some of that momentum. And it's awful hard to do when you're down 21-0 in a rivalry game like that, with, like you said, all the emotions are there. But looking at the whole game from a wider perspective, you did a lot of nice things. What you did with the defense, for the most part, you looked like you tried to – Harbor Creek wanted to throw a little bit more than they did coming into this game. They wanted to do a little bit more – play action pass, and your defense looked like it was poised to take that away from them and force them to kind of be a little bit more one-dimensional. Was that kind of the game plan there?
Yeah, the key with Harper, we got to stop the run, and we didn't do that. They were able to, especially out on the edges, with some power and stuff, that they were able to really just keep that ball moving, keep that ball going down the field. And again, after, you know, you go to that second half, another big changer. We had that touchdown on the screen that got called back on a hold, and then ended up not scoring on that. And then they had that, they went down, scored a touchdown, had an onside kick, scored a touchdown. And, you know, even if we could have got to 21-7 or something like that, who knows what would have happened. And, you know, just tough tough go there. Again, got to find ways to get into the end zone there. We got to stop shooting ourselves in the foot. We got to be better with penalties. Got to be better with the details of a game to make things turn out different at the end. But yeah, get back to that defense standpoint. I mean, the key was to stop the run, and we didn't quite do that. And you know, the old adage, once some things start going wrong, then everything's gonna start going wrong. Whether or not somebody's trying to do somebody else's job and then all that. And so us as coaches got to do a better job to make sure that our kids are doing their job and doing the right things on the field, and we'll have success as we go through there. It's unfortunate that the first game turned out this way, but I do believe that we can respond and be better in the season. So
what I did like is your running game was going well. Your big back, who's coming back as a starter from last year, he really ran hard between the tackles there, and then you also had some nice plays in the screen game. So talk about those kind of opportunities for you.
Yeah, we ran the ball pretty well. Austin Willenmuth, big strong guy, and you know, he's not coming down with arm tackles, and if we give him a little bit of a hole to run through, he's going at least 5 to 10 yards. We just got to make sure that we have the correct blocking assignments, a hat on a hat up front. Austin's going to do a job for us carrying the ball. And then, you know, we got the explosive nature of Isaiah Jackson, that when we have him in the game running the ball, he's going to be explosive as well. And you put two of those guys in the backfield, you know, you can move the ball pretty well. The big thing is we got to do a better job of being able to throw the football a little bit. We struggle. You said it. We were very good in the screen game. We did a great job. That was all of our completions, really, in the passing game. We got to be able to stretch the ball a little bit more down the field, and you know, that's on me to make sure that we can get that done.
So we turn the page, and then it comes really quick because Labor Day weekend is stuck there in the middle, but week two is right around the corner. And talk about your opponent there at Grand Ledge, and going on the road playing it's a real nice program there. They always have a real good team, and that's going to be a tough bounce back game, but you just have to do it, right?
Yeah, and you know, they got one of the best running backs in the state. The kid's good. Their quarterback threw for 300 plus yards against West Ottawa. And so obviously I know Joe Bry really good. He was, you know, I was his defense coordinator when we were down at Homer. He's a, you know, heck of an offensive mind, and he's always, you know, explosive on offense. And so it's tough, you know, that atmosphere over there is a great atmosphere. You know, that's a whole community event that they get out to go and play, to watch a football game. And so it's tough to go up there, but you know, it's the game of football, and that's you know, every week is tough, and every week you gotta rise to the occasion and be prepared and go play the game.
What are the things you're gonna focus on this week to try to get better for the season and then get better for game two? Is some things that you have on your mind already that you want to kind of work on?
Number one is just the discipline. Like, we had way too many penalties on Friday night, and we have to take care of that. They're drive killers. We get a drive going and we get a penalty, and any time you get put in second and long or third and long, it's impossible to get out of. You become one dimensional. You're gonna have to end up throwing the ball at some point in those drives just to get a first down, and so we got to take care of that. And some of those penalties were, you know, us not having our mind in the game, and some of those penalties were just hard, you know, hard play penalties, and we got to still find a way to limit those so that we're not shooting ourselves in the foot. Making sure we're holding on to the football, making sure that we're not turning the ball over, that's huge. I think we ended up with three turnovers maybe on Friday, and that's just too many to be successful on offense. Defensively, making sure that we're tackling, breaking down on tackles, not giving anybody a second chance after, you know, initial contact met at the line of scrimmage. Again, 11 hats, the football hustling, it's the same thing week after week, making sure that you're hustling around the field. And then last and final, and this is where Harper did an absolute great job on Friday night. They're the hammer and not the nail. And then we got to make sure that we're the hammers out on the field, and good things are going to happen for us when that's the case.
Well, we'll look forward to that in week two. See Lakeview take on a really good Grand Ledge program, and see the result of that when we talk again next Saturday. Thanks, Coach, for coming on down here. We'll be back with our next Coach of the Morning here after this on WBCK 95.3 FM.
Coach's Corner on WBCK, brought to you by Lakeview Ford, where community matters. Now back to the show.
This is Bill Broderick, sports editor of the Battle Creek Inquirer, back here on Coach's Corner on WBCK. We're here with our next Coach of the morning. We got Coach Robbie Hatton on the line. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning, Bill. How's things going this morning?
Hey, we're going good. We already got 1 week of high school football in, and we got a big Labor Day weekend in front of us, so it's an exciting time. Talk about you had a back-and-forth game on Thursday night, a real good high school football game from the visitors or from someone who's watching the game. Otsego beat you 32-26, but it was the kind of game that could have gone either way, and talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I was really proud of our kids. You know, we got down 12-0 early, had some self-inflicted wounds early of just, you know, we're preaching attention to detail this year, and we just lost our heads a little bit and got down, put ourselves in a hole 12-0, and then we really settled in after that. We were able to string a couple drives together right before halftime, tied it up, went into half 12-12, got the ball, you know, went down and scored and, you know, took a 19-12 lead. Otsego scored, and we got a nice stop, so we're still up 19-18, and then we had a miscommunication. You know, they had punted the ball deep, and, you know, and it was third down, and we tried to get them to draw off sides to get a little room to, you know, maneuver a little bit, and just a miscommunication, ended up with a snap over our quarterback when we weren't supposed to, and had a safety, and, you know, things like that happen. You know, and then, but the good thing is you know, after the safety, Otsego scored, so now we're down, you know, 26-19, and we battled back, had a nice drive, put a touchdown together, and tied it up 26-26 with about 5 minutes left. And then, you know, unfortunately, the next kickoff was a big one for Otsego, and that put us down 32-26. But, again, our kids, you know, they kept fighting. And, you know, after the kick return, we still put together a very good drive, you know, drove it all the way down to their side of the field, and just came up a little short. You know, we fell short on a 4th-and-3. But I tell you what, Bill, it was great to see our kids fighting. You know, it was adversity, you know, getting down early, down late, still coming back to tie it or take the lead. And it was great to see that out of our kids.
Yeah. Like you said, it could have been a range of emotions there after you had fought so hard to get back, and then they run that kickoff back. You talked about as inside the 10 when it came all the way back, and then they scored one play later, and you can drop your heads at that point, but it looked like Penfield did not, and you guys went on your own drive and had it down inside the 35 with a minute 30 left and just fell short on that on a fourth down, but gave you guys a chance, and that's all you can kind of ask for. And talk about how that kind of attitude and that kind of fighting against adversity this year is going to help you kind of down the road.
Absolutely. You know, our league's going to be a dogfight this year. You know, I think we're going to have, you know, a ton of battles this year where we're going to have to be mentally strong and not willing to just fold. And that's one thing we've been preaching all summer, all off season, is, hey, we've got to be mentally tough. We've got to be able to rise to the challenge. You know, life is full of adversity, Bill, and it's how do we respond when something doesn't go our way? Are we going to tuck our tails and run away, or are we going to come right back at it and meet adversity right in the face? And, you know, we got two big games the next couple weeks. Right now our focus is solely on Sturgis, but, you know, we've got to make sure we're taking care of business. And, you know, with us being Division Five this year and playing a schedule full of Division Three and Division Four schools, you know, we can win a couple games, and, you know, we can hopefully still crack the playoffs. And, you know, it's a big challenge for us, but I think our kids are going to be up to it. You know, I saw a lot of emotion on the sideline after the game, which it's nice to see, because we hadn't seen that in a little bit. And, you know, the kids are really starting to, you know, want this. They really want this. Not saying teams in the past didn't want it, but I'm saying, like, you can really see that desire and that burn for our kids right now, that is like, all right, let's go. It's go time. It's time to this is the year.
Looked like your passing game was working real well for you. Calvin Pazin's went 13 of 21 passing. He had 3 touchdown passes. Johnny Lake caught 5 balls for 136 yards, and all 3 of those touchdowns. Tommy Wright had 6 catches for 110 yards. And I know you got some good production out of your running game. Also, talk about that balance there, and then especially getting some good yards out of the passing game.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Bill, here's the deal. I'll tell you, a lot of our passing is play action. You know, we really are working hard on establishing the run this year. You know, the run sets up the pass, and you know, if we don't commit to the run, you know, our play action passing isn't going to work. Our boot passes, anything like that's not going to work. We have a tendency where a lot of teams like to send the house and play man, which is good, because we have a lot of great athletes, and we were able to take advantage of that a little bit. You know, obviously we know Johnny Lake is a heck of a tight end. I mean, he's 6'5", but runs and leaps, and you know, he's a great athlete for us in that position. You know, and then Tommy's very versatile. Tommy can find the opening, and he has great hands. You know, and then another weapon for us there is Drayshon Bailey. You know, he takes the roof off, which allows those underneath routes to develop. You know, and then obviously, you know, Peyton Merlington didn't have a catch, but he's another great receiver for us, and same thing with Carter Bammer. But, you know, I'll tell you, the work of Trevin Straham and Isaiah Gray, you know, it was tough sledding out there for them. You know, they were hitting a brick wall at times, but, you know, we kept sticking with them, and, you know, they really allowed our passing game to set up by, you know, committing to the run and trying to get what they could get.
And on defense, a lot of points were scored, but you guys didn't do – you did a good job there, Gavin May. Your college prospect there had a great game, 8 tackles, and then Johnny Lake had 7 tackles himself and a sack. And the defense did its job to make sure you guys stay in the game.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, one thing is we've got to give our defense. You know, we can't put them in a bad situation. You know, and I say put our defense. You know, our kids. Bill, we got 20 kids on the varsity football team right now. These kids are both going back both ways. So it's not like our offense. We've got to, as a team, not allow our opponents to get, you know, good field position because of our mistakes. You know, our first drive, we fumbled and gave Otsego the ball at the 25, which resulted in points. And it's, you know, we can't do that. And then one possession, we had a shanked punt, and the ball goes out of bounds. We give them the ball at the 37. So, you know, those are two things that it's like, all right, listen, we've got to make sure, A, we take care of the ball, flip the field when we can. You know, our defense played lights out. Coach Porter had a really good game plan. Our kids executed really well. You know, a couple of things that we can fix here and there, and, you know, we'll be very happy with our performance.
So we flip the page, and then next week you'll be looking for your first win of the year, and you're going down to Sturgis. Sturgis is coming off an emotional game themselves. They had the 100th meeting in their school history against Coldwater, a city down the road from them, and they fell short against Coldwater. So tell us what you know or what you've seen about Sturgis and what you're looking forward to.
Yeah, you know, Coach Stewart, Chance Stewart down there, runs a great program. You know, he does things the right way, which is one of the big reasons why we wanted to play them was, hey, listen, we know we're going to get a good, well-coached football team. You know, Sturgis is they're big. Man, watching them on film, they're very big. They have some good size. You know, I think we have some speed that we can take advantage of in some certain areas, which would allow us to be a little explosive. But I'm going to tell you, man, they're physical, and we've got to come out. And, you know, I heard Coach Vernon say earlier, you know, the hammer and the nail, and, you know, it's a great thing that we got to preach to our kids this week too, is listen, we've got to be the most physical team on the field. We've got to be tough. You know, and if we do that, I think we have a chance of being successful. You know, I'm looking forward to getting down to Sturgis, and then after the game, hopefully getting some hot now while I'm down there.
That's a good idea. That's good, something to look forward to there, Coach. We'll look forward to that also next week, and we talk again about a possible Penn field victory when it comes around, and that'll be fun to talk about. Thanks for coming down here. Thanks for talking to us, Coach, this morning.
Hey, have a good one, Bill.
We'll be back with our next Coach of the Morning here on WBCK 95.3 FM after this.
Coach's Corner on 95.3 WBCK. Proudly brought to you by Lakeview Ford, where community matters. Here's Coach's Corner.
This is Bill Broderick back here on Coach's Corner in downtown Battle Creek on Lakeview Ford on the Motor Mile. We're here with our next Coach of the Morning here, Coach Lauren Granger of the Battle Creek Central Bearcats. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning.
Battle Creek Central had a fun night on Thursday night in the season opener, and a much-needed fun night. After struggling last year, the Bearcats came out strong for 2025 and won 52-0 over there at Benton Harbor on a long road trip, and I'm sure it was a happy road trip coming back on that bus ride, a nice way to celebrate the opening night of the season.
Yeah, it was a beautiful night for football. It's a big a big change from the way we've opened up the last couple of seasons, just getting thumped, you know, in week one. And it's tough. You get such a short lead up to when you play your first game that, you know you're going to go into a game and make mistakes, and you know you're going to have penalties, and you know things are going to be a bit disorganized. And it's tough to open up with a team that ends up being in the state finals with week one, because you make those mistakes and it just puts you in a position where you don't even have a chance. And so going down to Benton Harbor, no disrespect to Benton Harbor, but they haven't had the success that Byron Center has had. And so, you know, we were able to go down there and still make some mistakes and still be a bit disorganized and still managed to find a way to win, which was great for us because we needed a confidence builder. We've had a really rough last couple of years, and our kids, some of our seniors, haven't won, you know, just one football game. And so, you know, to go down there and come home with a win just made everybody feel just a little bit more confident going into next week, which, you know, it's going to be important for us.
And a fast start to that game. On Thursday, you're up 34-0 at halftime. Talk about what was happening early for you that was successful and was able to get you that momentum.
Well, yeah, a fast start that actually is kind of deceiving, because we opened up with the ball and Benton Harbor stuck us pretty good on that first possession. We ended up punting 3-and-out. And they, you know, in that first possession looked very aggressive on defense. We had a hard time blocking them and – to be honest, there was on third down, Lee Campbell starts scrambling, and really, I mean, he jumps up in the air and tries to throw the ball, and it really probably could have been called a fumble. It was very close, and it wasn't. It was called an incomplete pass, and we were able to punt, but had that gone a different way, I don't know. It might have changed the momentum of the whole game. You know, those are the kinds of things when you're dealing with high school kids, you just don't know what one play is going to do to the outlook of the next 10. And so, but we got the punt off, and fortunately for us, our defense came ready to play. Our offense was a little bit discombobulated on that first possession, but our defense had their ears pinned back and was ready to play. And we pinned Benton Harbor deep and then forced a fumble that led to our first touchdown. And really, that's when the fast start began, because if you ask me, we kind of started out the game a little slow. Right, right. But one of our goals going into the game that we talked about was trying to get a fast start. You know, let's put the pedal on the gas right from the jump. You know, we've struggled with that. We struggled with that last year. And so this year that is one of our primary focuses. When the ball's kicked off, let's be ready to play.
Right.
You know, so.
And you did that on Thursday. I mean, like you said, a little stub your toe there at the beginning, but up 34-0 at halftime. Mm-hmm. That had to be a great intermission for you there. And a lot of bright spots all over the field for you. You mentioned Lee Campbell. He had four touchdowns from the quarterback spot. Threw for 152 yards, spread the ball around a little bit. Barr Jabril and Sir Paris each had two touchdown catches. Greg Williams, Kamari Finney, and Braylon McCoy all added scores. And it was one of those nights when a lot of guys got in the end zone and a lot of guys came out with some smiling faces.
Yeah, and that's the beauty of having a lead like that at halftime. When you have a young team like we do, there's a lot of question marks on the roster. You know, who's going to step up? Who's the freshman that's going to step up and take a spot? Who's the sophomore that's going to step up and take a spot? And we have holes in our schemes, you know, just because we have young guys that are playing positions and aren't quite ready yet for varsity football, but just have to be because of our situation. And so when you're up 34-0 at halftime, you're able to give a lot of guys an opportunity to show what they can do on the field. And so obviously that situation breeds a lot of confidence for a young guy when he goes out in the field, because he knows he can make mistakes and it's not going to cost us the game. So they play a little bit more free. And so it was nice to see some young guys get an opportunity and make big plays, and gives us, as a coaching staff, gives us a little bit more confidence that even though they're young and inexperienced, they can step up and get the job done. And so, you know, taking a hard look at film over the weekend and trying to evaluate personnel, you know, next week we may not be able to play the carousel the way we did on Friday night, you know, with regards to who's playing where and how much playing time everyone's getting. So it's nice to get that out in week one, get everybody an opportunity, and then have film that gives you solid data on who can do what and where your limitations are. So, you know, next week's going to present different challenges to us, and hopefully we have the right answers, you know.
It'll be a fun week of practice, that's for sure. I mean, the guys will have something to look forward to or look back on with that good feeling, and that way you'll maybe have some good practices with guys that have a little bit more pep in the step after a big win. And then next Friday, you get serious again with a tough opponent. You're playing Lansing Everett. They are coming off a win off one of their city rivals, Lansing Sexton. And then facing an Everett team that went to the playoffs last year that has its own challenges. And what do you know about Everett, and what are you looking forward to there?
Yeah, last year they're a second-round playoff team. Jaleel Canty does a great job with them up there. He's a great coach, played at Ferris State, and was a great player himself. And so he's a competitor, and he knows how to win. Javari Funches is their running back that also sometimes lines up as a Wildcat-type quarterback. Rushed for 300 yards and had 4 touchdowns, and he's a bad man. I mean, he's probably as good a running back as we've seen in many years. Actually committed to Ferris State after the Sexton win, and you know, when you're being recruited to play that position by that school, you're pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, so he's the guy. He's their guy. You know, if we're going to win, we're not going to stop him.
Right.
We have to contain him. We have to keep him from causing too much damage. But they look big up front. You know, they're always a physical team. We played them a few years ago, and we had some great games with them. And I know much of their offensive line returns from last year's playoff team. And when that's true and you have one of the best running backs in the state of Michigan, you know, they're going to run the football and they're going to be successful with it. So we're going to have to be able to match that. We're going to be able to be creative on defense in order to, you know, contain the attack as much as possible. So other than that, really, like, schematically, they look a lot like us. They run a lot of the same plays. And so the good thing for that is, you know, all the mistakes that we had made in the last couple of weeks, we get to work on ourselves this week, because offensively and, quite frankly, defensively, they look just like us. So we don't have to spend a lot of time on scout team stuff, because scout team is what we do.
Yep.
I mean, that's what they do. So it'll be a good week for us with respect to that, because it'll give us another opportunity to really just work on ourselves, which is what's most important.
It'll be a challenge to get ready for a really good Everett team, and we look forward to talking a little bit more about that next week when you come back, and having the Bearcats try to ride their momentum to see what they can do in week two. Thanks for coming down here, Coach.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it.
We'll be back with our next Coach of the Morning here after this on WBCK 95.3 FM.
Tom. Coach's Corner on WBCK, brought to you by Lakeview Ford, where community matters. Now back to the show.
This is Bill Broderick, sports editor of the Battle Creek Choir. Remind you that you can get all the results and bonus photos and video highlights every game night throughout the football season on battlecreekchoir.com. Right after all the games, we have a lot of stuff on there for you to take a look at, and it's a lot of fun for football fans to see that stuff. Coach Kevin Bennett of the Sanfield Fighting Tigers couldn't join us this morning. But we'll talk about Sanfield real quick here. They fell short. They lost to Bangor at CW Post on Thursday, 50-0. They had 7 freshmen starting. Their one senior, Ben Nelson, was injured. He could not play. Junior Brogan Lightfoot had 53 yards. That was the highlight of the game for them. Sanfield is fighting numbers still, and they're going to be a real young team throughout the season. And they're going to have to go at it again next week. They're going to be on the road on Friday at North Adams Jerome. And Sanfield will have their hands full there to try to get right after struggling on opening night. And they are playing for the future. They're trying to rebuild that program as they go ahead. We'll be back with our last Coach of the Morning here after this on WBCK 95.3 FM.
On 95.3 WBCK, proudly brought to you by Lakeview Ford, where community matters. Here's Coach's Corner.
This is Bill Broderick, sports editor of the Battle Creek Inquirer, back here with our next Coach of the Morning here. We're here with Coach Mason Converse of the Harbor Creek Beavers. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning, Bill.
Harbor Creek had a fun night on opening night in front of a huge crowd, a nice crowd that was there to honor former football coach Ed Greenman, former AD, to name the Ed Greenman Athletic Complex there at Harbor Creek. Big crowd all the way around also because Lakeview was in town, so... And a great result. Harbor Creek won 42-0. So it was a great night all the way around for the Beavers.
Anytime you open with a crosstown rival and a true rivalry that Lakeview and Harbor Creek is, it's a great night. We've been really fortunate. Our kids have been fortunate. We've had terrific crowds the past several years. And then you add on top of it the stadium dedication to Ed Greenman. Couldn't be a more deserving person to get that. That dedication was just a fantastic night, fantastic environment. High school sports are kicking off and in full swing, and of course the result obviously was made it for an even more fun evening too.
And my takeaway from that first game is that you hoped that certain things were going to happen, but you weren't exactly sure what was going to happen because you had a lot of new guys and new places after graduating a really strong senior class from a year ago that did a lot of great things the last couple of years. And but these new guys had come in and they were hungry to show that they can keep the momentum going, and they certainly did that.
Without a doubt. And we know that more game ones are lost than they are won because of mistakes. And I've heard several coaches talk about it this morning that you've got kind of a short lead up time to those first games. And so we really focused a lot on being just simple and sound this week. And we talked a lot with our guys. We have pillars that we try to base everything around, and two of those pillars are effort and toughness, and we talked about that those two things were going to win us the game or not win us the game, and we knew that adversity would hit at some point, and how are we going to handle that adversity? That's the toughness piece, both physical and mental toughness, and then the effort. And you hear, it's the cliche, you hear a lot of coaches talk about blocking to the whistle and things like that, but we talk about that and coach that constantly. And right from the start, you can see on the opening kickoff, we took it back for a touchdown, and you can see all of our guys on the kickoff return team are blocking all the way down the field. I mean, we have guys like Gavin Rice, Ty Schmidt, Brock Torzynski. They're all blocking past the 50 as Gavin Chapman is running by them. And those are the guys that make those touchdown springing blocks. And you talk about toughness and adversity hitting. I mean, we had the holding penalty. You look back and you see the yellow flag and adversity hit real quick. So the range of emotions from, you know, taking the opening kickoff back for a touchdown to now coming back and having to regroup is how can you handle that?
You did. You did regroup, and then you went up, and eventually you went up 14-0, and then the key play, what I thought was the whole game, and talked to Lakeview coach earlier this morning about that. Lakeview had got down inside the five, and if they score there, it's 14-7 going into halftime possibly, and it's a brand-new game, and you stopped them. You came up with a big play with a strip sack. And Cameron Converse recovered the fumble there. And then you have the ball and you go back and score. That turnaround there defined the rest of the game and really was a huge turning point.
There, games, you talk about one play doesn't change the course of a game, but there are pivotal plays in games that sway the momentum, and there's no doubt there. And again, we get right back into the effort and toughness piece right there. They brought in their running quarterback, Isaiah Jackson, who's really slippery. He's just a terrific threat out of the backfield, and we did not do a good job of tackling and over-pursued, and he gets down to the 3-yard line. It would have been really easy for our kids to give up and just let him walk in thinking we were up 14-0. And DJ Wood hawked him down, knocked him out of bounds. I mean, we again talked about after the game how we made them fight for every yard on the field, and so now it's first and goal on the 3. What can we do? What's our young team made of? And again, now a lot of teams hang their heads, let teams just walk in, and okay, we'll regroup, live to play another down. But we battled and ended up sending them backwards 4 straight plays, and our defense played very well overnight or all night. I'm sorry, and that was a huge moment in the game for sure. I mean, we held their running back Wildermuth, who's a strong, physical running back. We held him to 41 yards on 18 carries. So to hold him to 2.3 yards a carry, that's pretty good. 3 of 11 on third downs and 0 of 3 on fourth downs. So they did a terrific job all night.
From there, you guys go up 21-0 at halftime and then start the second half strong using that momentum. And that running game was going great behind a new look offensive line, all new starters there, and you have to tip your hat to those guys.
I can't say enough about those guys. Brand new offense, really total. Every starter is new this year, and so we thought we had a chance to be decent, and they have been chomping at the bit to show what they can do. But Antoine Westry, Sean Johnson, Ty Schmidt, Aiden Wynn, Cohen Deskins, Brock Yancer, and Logan Converse across the front, tight end to tight end, they blocked with a pad level and a fury that makes you proud as a coach, and they really controlled the line of scrimmage all night. And Maddox McCarty is the new general, under center, and he did a terrific job. I know he's a little disappointed he didn't complete any passes, but they were taking away the pass game with what we were doing. And so we continued to run it, and he changed the snap count all night and really kept Lakeview on their toes, was able to draw them off sides a few times, and there'll be times this year when we have to count on Maddox to win games for us, and he'll be ready for that. And then our three running backs out of the backfield, Cohen Slechter, Kamari Hampton, and Cameron Converse, they were just hammers all night. They were delivering the blow. We've talked about those big, fast backs for several years now, and they showed that they're ready for the moment. And then we had a fourth guy come in, Gavin Rice, who really did a great job. I mean, he only carried the ball once, but he went for like a 42-yard touchdown. So just overall did a terrific job. Kamari led us with 96 yards on 11 carries, so 8.7 yards a carry. And Cam had 82 yards on 5 carries, which is 16.4 yards. And then Cohen Slechter averaged 5.5 yards a carry. And that goes back to how well our offensive line was blocking. And just can't say enough good things about those guys.
Yeah, and everyone got in on the scoring, which is a fun night. And made it for a great night all the way around. And a good night to be a Beaver there at Ed Greenman Athletic Complex there. And then you look forward to next week. So then we're getting going, and week two comes real quick, and you're picking it up a little bit and going up to the Grand Rapids area, which is always a tough place to play. They play good football up there, and you're playing Cedar Springs. Talk about them a little bit.
So, yeah, I'll talk about them real quick. One more thing I want to mention just defensively on tackles. Gavin Rice led us with 8 tackles. Connor Rosenberg had 7. Brock Hibbs had a really big interception for us that kept momentum swinging in our direction. And Tegan Turnbull had 6 tackles out of the safety spot. And so, again, we challenged him this week to be really focused on his keys and to come down and play the run hard, and he delivered. So couldn't be more proud of those guys. So switching gears to Cedar Springs, they're a quality Division III opponent. They are a playoff team almost every single year over the last 10 to 15 years, and make some deep runs from time to time as well, too. They play in a great they used to play in the OK Red, which is a terrific conference, one of the toughest conferences in the state. And now that some of those teams have left and formed the River Cities Alliance, and it's a league very similar to ours, but they're still playing. They play good football up in that Grand Rapids area. And so for us, it's a great measuring stick to see with our young team, how are we going to handle the 2-hour bus ride? How are we going to handle going into a hostile environment? How are we going to handle a physical football game? They run the T, so they're a lot like Hastings, and can we prepare for that? Overall, in terms of the season, it matters record-wise, but in terms of the league chase, there isn't any pressure on that. We just want to measure up and see how we compete at this point to be able to make runs in the playoffs in the future.
That'll be exciting to find out how Harbor Creek comes off the big win over Lakeview, and then facing an opponent outside the conference that you don't see a ton of, and see if the Beavers can keep that momentum going. So we'll be looking forward to that, Coach. Thanks for coming down here.
Absolutely. Have a great week.
Be back with the next coach, all of our coaches next week on Coach's Corner on Saturday. Have a great Labor Day weekend, everybody. This is Bill Broderick of the Belcher Inquirer, and signing off on WBCK 95.3 FM.